Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Sermon theme today is just two words, but two very important words. Just believe. Based on the gospel reading that we have just heard, I'll read it one more time. And maybe you'll be following along, of course, and maybe a few different words will help to enlighten us. That was the New King James Version. This is the Revised Standard Version of Scripture. Again, the text, on that day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him, and a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Your fellow redeemed, it has been a long day. Evening has come, and now it's time for some peace and quiet. Jesus has been teaching crowds of people, as well as his own disciples, speaking to them in many parables, giving a picture of what the kingdom of God is really like. All this took place along the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, where a multitude of people had gathered, having heard that this man Jesus spoke in a way that no one had ever heard before. After the stress of speaking for many hours, Jesus was very tired. He had most likely been using the boat as a platform for addressing the mass of humanity that lined the shore. Now he and the disciples, who were also in the boat, push away from land. They headed for the other side of the sea, actually a direction pretty much southeast, away from all the people, hoping to get some rest. A few other small boats followed them, but without incident. They had proceeded for some distance when a terrible storm arose. Waves were not only slamming against the boat, but into it. The disciples started to panic as the boat began to fill with water. Now, those of you who are boaters know how fast the water can change. In a matter of minutes, sometimes just a couple of minutes, a perfectly calm surface can turn into white caps and then waves. My pastime during my years in Seattle was boating. My boating partner, Ray, and I spent most of our Saturdays usually on Puget Sound or in and around the San Juan Islands. The Lord spared our lives more than once when what happened to Jesus and the disciples happened to us, especially when we suddenly found ourselves in riptides. I can tell you, this biblical account is a very true-to-life account of the dangers that can be encountered at sea. I can also assure you that the specter of fear can grip a person almost in an instant when one finds himself standing in several inches of water in the boat after the waves have crashed into it. As water was pouring into the boat, the disciples immediately turned to their leader in this moment of crisis. And lo and behold, there he was, fast asleep in the stern of the boat with his head on a cushion. Uninhibited in their fear, they awoke Jesus. "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" Well, even in these words, we have a sense of hopelessness, a lack of faith. They are desperate. Not even thinking to call on God in prayer. You don't see that here. Now we learn something about the love of the Christ who later would sacrifice his life to save the souls of these men, but also everyone else. As he awoke, he immediately had compassion on his followers in their weakness. He quickly arose and for a brief moment set aside his humanity and showed his divinity. True man, yes, but now true God. He rebuked the wind, and he spoke also to the sea. He commanded them, "Peace, be still." And in that moment, the elements obeyed. Nature responded to its creator. Mark writes, "The wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now keep in mind, this account is a true story. God the Holy Spirit does not lie, nor does God change, according to Malachi. What Jesus did then, he can still do today. But there's much more here to consider. Let's keep going. Our Lord turns to his distraught and fearful disciples with a question, which was really an admonition. Why are you afraid? Have you no faith? Well, he got right to the heart of the problem. Fear and doubting. He wants them to learn that neither has any place in the life of a believer, of a child of the Heavenly Father. Now, repeatedly, God has spoken to his people in olden times, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Then James wrote, and quite fittingly for this story, "For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, will receive anything from the Lord." This the disciples needed to understand. So do we. Someone once wrote, "There are no miracles to men who do not believe in them." Christianity without faith is a nothing religion. Faith rooted in love is at the very center of all that we confess and do as believers in Christ. Faith, as we find defined in Hebrews 1, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, I like that word, the conviction of things not seen. It is knowing with absolute certainty that something that can't be seen is true and real, or that the impossible is in fact possible. Genuine faith does not doubt. Instead, it accepts without questioning, looks to a promise as being already fulfilled. In the face of fear, true faith immediately turns to the God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, expecting the Lord to act and knowing that he will. This is what the disciples of Jesus did not do. The lesson for us is, don't be like them. Turn to God. Just believe. Faith is the antidote to fear. It is the one way the Spirit of the living Christ has given to us to live in peace, to deal with the hurtful and threatening things that come our way. Faith works as a companion to hope, gives us the assurance, one, that our good Lord sees the burdens that we bear, two, that he has the power to lift them, and three, that he wants us to be free of fear, to be safe, to be healed, to be happy, and rejoicing. Without faith, our daily lives tend to lose meaning. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And without faith, we cannot obtain the salvation of our souls. Not having a firm faith, the disciples were doomed. Only by the grace of Jesus did the storm subside. Their lives were saved and peace was restored. So it is with us. Just believe. Most of you, I'm guessing, know what a hot wire is, right? It could be the cable that connects your car battery to the starter, or the wire that connects the light switch in your house to the circuit breaker. If you touch it, you find out the hard way it's quite alive. Faith is a bit like this. It is alive. It is a conductor of power. It is the connection between us and our God, over which his boundless grace, the power of the gospel, comes streaming into our hearts. Faith is the spiritual wire through which the righteousness of Jesus Christ comes to us, enabling us to be a light that dispels the darkness of sin. Paul told the jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." To believe is to have faith. Faith saves the soul. Its outcome is justification. But only a living faith, two kinds of faith, living and dead. Only a living faith, as James points out. And faith is that wondrous spiritual gift that gets us through the storms of life and keeps us from drowning in sin. Repent and believe in the gospel were Jesus' words as he began his public ministry. More, faith combined with love is what makes our good works acceptable to our Heavenly Father. Jesus wanted his disciples then and today to have the kind of faith that both saves the soul and ensures answers to life's many trials. His question to those in the boat was designed to get them to see their sin of unbelief and to repent of it. By example, he showed them how not to be anxious in the face of danger, but to be trusting, expecting deliverance. Jesus slept when the storm raged. His human nature was not afraid. He knew that the Father in heaven was watching over him. He knew a guardian angel was standing by. It wasn't the sound of the storm or the water splashing into the boat that made him arise. It was the urgent cry of the men who were with him that aroused him and then prompted his merciful command. Nothing has changed in this modern age. Nothing. We don't have to be in a storm on the water to find ourselves in trouble. At times, our lives can be anything but peaceful. Most of you know that, if not all. Our well-being can be threatened in a host of ways. Heartbreak, loneliness, aging, poor health, turmoil in the world, you name it. All have the potential for opening the door to fear and to hopelessness. The question is, will we run to our teacher, thinking that if we wake him, maybe he can help us? Or will we get on our knees, confident that the God of heaven and the Savior of our souls both sees our need and will answer our heartfelt plea for help? We don't have because we don't ask. James wrote. How true. The Apostle John gives us excellent counsel as we are confronted with the downtimes in life. This is the confidence that we have in Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have obtained the request made of him. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Jesus himself promised, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Just believe." That's the key. Believe that Jesus can and will still the storm. Believe that he has the power to do anything. Believe that he loves you and he wants what is best for each of you. Believe that Jesus hears your prayers and the answer's already on the way. There's a song about that. Believe his death on the accursed cross atoned for every sin that you and I and everyone else has ever committed. Believe in him for the salvation of your very soul. Just believe. The disciples were beginning to catch on. They have been with Jesus now only a relatively short time and have much to learn. We see in verse 41, they were filled with awe and shared with one another the wonder of the miracle they had just witnessed. They were alive. The sea was now calm. Their fears were gone. Their thoughts now turned to the one who not only spoke to the wind and the waves, but especially to their hearts. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It wouldn't be until a few years later that they would come to understand who he really was and all he suffered to save every sinner, not just from a watery grave, but from the agony of hell. This same Jesus, with the same love and compassion, the same willingness to forgive our weaknesses, the same unlimited power, can and will still the storms in our lives. All we need to do is turn to him and ask him to bring that blessed calm and peace into our hearts for his name's sake. Just believe he will do it. In his precious name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through a living faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.